existence and our seeds today. And we love the Lord.
Yes.
And we enjoy that liquid sunshine out there in August. It's kind of a rare thing, isn't it? But we all need it. So we want to pray that it'll push up northward a little bit so Brother Tim can get a little of it. Yeah. Amen. So God is good to us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And it's good to know that no matter what, we got a Savior.
Amen.
Amen. He's got it all in his control. You look out there and see all this stuff going on in the world. And you know, the scripture said men's hearts failing for fear, but that's not for us. Right? You see that stuff and you just, it's something down inside. It's like a joy and an excitement and looking forward. Because our time is drawing nigh. Amen. To be able to be there in that realm, I tell you what, it's just something to be excited about. And so we just are happy to know that as the world is burning down, you know, that God's got his people and he's just drawing us closer to him. So good. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. Revelation chapter 22. You know, a lot of people are afraid of the book of Revelation. And then Revelation just simply means revealing, right? The apocalypse. It's revealing. Amen. So remember those that are traveling today, be traveling back, maybe perhaps in rain, so just ask the Lord to give them protection. Bring them home safely. Revelation chapter 22, begin reading at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, then the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth of these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know this New Testament ending by God saying, don't add to or take away. And did you know that Moses, at the end of his ministry, when he got through giving the law and all that, he said, don't you take away, don't add to. Right? Now, God can come along and clarify things, which he did when he came to the New Testament. But here, the New Testament is closing out the same way. We don't want to add to or take away from the Word. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are, Lord, to know that you are who you are and that your eyes are upon us. Lord, that you didn't leave us here this last day drifting, Lord, that you came down and you brought an anchor for our soul. And Lord, we're so thankful to know today that you have made provisions for us. Even this day, even this service, Lord, today, that you've made provisions for us. And Lord, we don't claim to do anything and just surrender ourselves to you and just trust, Lord, that you will act out and be and do everything because it's you, Lord, and all points to you is all from you. And so we just, Lord, are happy to be your subjects today. We ask, Lord, that you touch every heart, every life, every soul, every need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title is today, In Search of Eternal Life. Amen. How many is glad to know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against revelation? Amen. We know that. We've rehearsed that story so much of the time in the scriptures there, how Jesus spoke about gates of hell not prevailing against those things. And so we're happy to know that. And so we know Revelation is so important to us. That's the very thing that we really need. The prophet said we should pray for Revelation. And so we're glad that God has that for us. What does Revelation do? Revelation lets you see things that you haven't seen before, and maybe things that you've been in service, or you've read the Bible over and over. There are scriptures I've read, you know, maybe perhaps 100 times, And then all of a sudden one day something comes off the pages an insight that you've never seen before, and it comes with an anointing, with a presence, with a clarity, with being able to see clearly into something that was there all along. It's there all along. You didn't see it. My wife and I were going somewhere the other day, and we were traveling down a road that I probably went down hundreds of times. And all of a sudden, I looked over, and there was a house that was sitting there that I had never seen, never even had no idea that that house was sitting there where it was. And so it's kind of like that. That's what I'm talking about. Revelation is that, you know, you go through and hear things and read things, and it just doesn't. And all of a sudden, one day, boom. Yeah. Now, and so, and I could go, that house has always been there. And now I could go and I could look on the Crawford County Data Scout website and see, yeah, it's there, and I can see who owns it and what it's worth, and I can go to Google's Maps, and everything I can look to confirms that it was there, but it's been there all along. And now that I know it's there, I see it everywhere I look, it's there. And that's the way Revelation is, out of the Word. We can sit in service and hear something over and over and over and it not click, but all of a sudden one day it clicks.
Yeah.
And from then on out, from there on, you know it, right? But here's the thing now, that like in the example of the house, now I can come along and I can say to you, I can take you and show you and say, see, there the house, and then you can see it. So yeah, it's there. But Revelation's not like that. I can't come to you and say, look at this,
right?
Only God can do that,
right?
But once God does that, it's done. You have that. Satan can never take that from you. Nothing will ever snuff that out. And see, that's why it's so important. So we just really appreciate Revelation and a God who promised to give that to us. You know, the scripture tells us in the book of James, you know, that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask God, who gives, abradeth not, and he gives liberally. Right, he gives plenty. Now, we know he's not talking about earthly, sensual wisdom or something like that, right? But if any man lacks wisdom, godly wisdom, I'm talking, you know, like Revelation. If you lack that, ask God. And the scripture said he gives plenty of it, right? But it does say let a man ask in faith, believing, because if you're a double-minded man, you're unstable in all your ways, and don't think that you're going to get something from the Lord if you're wavering, right? Believe it. Go to God and believe him. Say, God, I'm looking to you. You've promised to give me these things, and I'm going to stand pat on faith, believing that you'll give me this revelation of his word.
Yeah.
Right.
And once those things happen, it just gives you such a pep in your step in the walk in the Lord. And so, you know, under this end time message, we talk about the Bible becoming a new book. And under this end time message, every scripture means more to us than the previous ages.
Amen.
Right? Everything means more to us. It's more pertinent to our days. You realize that as we're here and we're at the ending of all ages and the closing out of time and we're fixing to step into eternity, that all the accumulation of all these things all fall upon us and unload here and reveal here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord, all those things from all ages, we get to partake of all of it. Because
yeah.
It's all revealed now. And so because of that, these scriptures, we can see things and revelations speaking out from the scriptures to us that previous ages didn't see. You know, Jesus even said that there were many people that desired to see the day that he was in and hadn't seen it. Why? Because it was time. And I'll tell you the same thing, that there's many people that long to see the age that you and I are in and didn't get to see it. But here we are, right? Because it's just the hour that we're living in. And so God can speak, you know, because it's a living word, right? Because I'm a living person, I can speak to you today and I can say things to you today, and then I can come back next week and I can say different things, more things to you than I did today because I'm living.
Right.
Now, if I was just a stone, a statue, a not a living person, then you could come here every Sunday and the only thing you're going to get is just you know what I'm saying? Because it's not living.
Right.
So God is living.
Yeah.
God can speak more tomorrow than he did today. Now, I could come or a person could come and maybe come tomorrow and say something that's contrary to what we say today. But God can't do that.
That's right.
God can come tomorrow and say more to you, not contrary to what he says today, but to add more to what he has said today. You see, you understand? And so that here we are at the end time, God will speak more to his people because he wants to, because he's a living God. And that's the fallacy with denominations and a denominational mindset, where they feel like they got to protect themselves, and they just bury down into one thing and say, this is it. And they make it to where God can't say anything else. Yeah, we don't want to do that. Amen. We're so glad to know that it is the living word. And so today, the search of eternal life. You know, the whole world is looking for the fountain of youth. And you see all these commercials, anti-aging, and everybody's got this, oh, do this. And you know, it'll take 20 years off of your age, right? It'll make you 20 years younger. And that sort of thing. And so everybody wants, it's kind of interesting to me, the whole world is looking for the very things the gospel gives you. Right. You think about that, right? They want happiness, joy, they want success in life, you know, and real success, real joy comes from the gospel,
yeah.
Right? They want eternal life, they want eternal youth, right? The gospel gives that, but they're looking for it somewhere else, and so everybody wants eternal life. But you have to realize that life, and especially when we're talking about eternal life, life is a person. Let me say it this way. Life is the person.
Right.
The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The presence of God. That's life. And so no, when it's life, no matter where life is, it's living.
Yeah.
So life can even be in the grave. But because it's life, it's living. You see what I'm saying? You can't kill life. Death is the absence of life. So wherever life goes, it's living. Wherever it comes, it brings that. When it goes, then it's without it. Follow me? So life, but that's the person. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's the person of God that had come down and was represented in Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus went into the grave. He's still alive. Why? Because he's life, right? Think about, you know, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha was a type of Christ and in the bride. And Elisha's bones laying there in a grave. And a dead man was thrown in there and come back. The bones, when they touch Elisha's bones, but dead man came alive because the quickening power was still on those bones of Elisha. It's showing you the quickening power is still on the bride. Even if we go to the grave, we're still, life is still with us. Right? That's what that's showing us there. And so, life is life. Brother Bram called it quickening power. That's exactly what it is. When something dies, it can't bring itself back to life. Right? It's like a tree. We got a tree in our front yard now. A great big tree down by the road that this year, it's just dead. You know, my wife asked me yesterday about, you know, hey, you're going to, what are we going to do? We're going to cut that down? Well, at some point, I'll have to, right? Because it's dead.
Yeah.
Right? Life has gone out of that tree. There's nothing that can make it come back. You have a plant, a flower, or something like that, and you know, when it's dead, it's dead.
Yeah.
Because life has went out of it. And so, the only way that you can bring it back to life is if life came back in. And so life can only come back in by the Creator, by the one who is life. He has to impart that, see? And so this is kind of synonymous or whatever the word is to what I was saying last week and what I've said for, I think, several weeks now, is that once something is hybrid, once you take two genuine seeds and you hybrid them, that death moves in and you can't, it's done. Because, you know, if you look at the genetics, like, you know, when a man and woman come together, the child has part of mom's genes and part of dad's genes, right? Well, there's parts of dad's genes that weren't passed to that child, right? Parts of mom's genes that weren't passed to that child. That child, no matter what happens, they'll never be able to express those genes that weren't given from mom or the ones that weren't given. And that's that to show you, and that not to say that husband and wife, it's hybrid, but you understand the concept here that when you take something, original seed, and you mix it with something else, then it'll never be able to go back to be that original seed. And being that it's we're talking about the gospel, even in the natural seeds, that when they hybrid something, you can never go back to the original. Yeah. You always, then in order to have the original, you have to go back to the original seed to get the original that's there. And so we understand that concept. And so once it's hybrid, then it's dead. It might live out the rest of its time, but it can't. That scripture there where God said every seed will bring forth fruit of its own kind. It's within itself. Once that's lost, you can never go back. And the only way to get it is to go back to the original creator in the first place. And you realize a seed, I was listening to this the other day, was Brother Ray was talking about this, you know, that every seed that's in its original form, that is the original, like the spoken word is original seed, that is the original seed. And whenever you have offspring that's never hybrid, it's still that original seed because it's not been mixed with anything. And so the only way to bring something back to life, it has to be a creative act that'll bring it back. And so if it's a creative act, then it creates a new, undefiled, perfect creation. And so the Word of God can do that. The Word of God did do that. And so when this is why when churches mix their man's ideas with the Word of God, it's no good anymore. And the only way to ever have to come back and be right with God is for God, the Creator, to come and bring life once again by His spoken word and move and speak and cause you to live again. Right. Cause a revival. I don't mean to keep repeating myself week after week, but the Lord is having me labor on this because I want you to understand these things. And so, when something's hybrid, the only way is for it to come into an encounter with the spoken word. See, so kind of to show you why today this message, the spoken word. Why? Because everything had been denominated. Everything had been mixed with something else. And there, man just does not have it within himself to bring life again. The only way you can have life again is to have an encounter with God. With the spoken word. And so that's why it happened in many, many, every age in its small ways. But here we are, this great end time move of God bringing us an encounter with the spoken word to bring us back to life, to have a bride, not just a church that's defiled, but to make us bride. Yeah. You know, a man that's in jail, I've said this many times over the years, a man that's in jail cannot get himself out of jail. You can stand there and scream and holler, get yourself out, free yourself. He can't do it. He's in jail. Right. It takes someone who's not in jail and somebody that's got keys to let him out. Right. See? It takes the Lord Jesus Christ to bring life into a people. Right? Man can't bring it. You see that every time man gets involved, that's the problem. He brings death in when he injects his own ideas and his own program into it. And so you have to come into contact with the Creator to do that. Man just can't do it because man's not a creator in himself. This only comes by the Word of God. And that's why Jesus said, hope this gives you a different light on this. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Right.
You can't live unless you come by the word of God. It's what brought us here naturally. It's what brought you into an experience to experience Christianity in the first place. And if anybody gets away from the word, the only way you can get back is to have an encounter with that creative word again.
Right.
And once that creative word is spoken and you believe it, boom, you're now alive again. Because God has created you new. And if you've been created new, then you're virgin. Right? You're pure. Amen. Can only come by that. Have to come in. And so man cannot live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See? It's not just about, well, I've got to obey. No, you have to be created a being by God's word. And for each age, there was an allotment of his spoken word, his creative word that was given out in every age to take that people who were dead because of previous ages of man's involvement and speak a new word into their life. Could be just justification for Luther's age, but that word of justification was the word, it was spoken word that would create a new people, fresh from the Lord, virgin from the Lord. It's the word they believe that creates them, right? Same thing today. So you have to come into an encounter with Creator, the life itself. Remember the Beth Dingwall testimony, sister up there in Cloverdale, Brother Biscoe's church up there, years and years ago. She was a child and she had leukemia and was dying from it. And they did a testimony of it, how the Lord healed her. And it's a really, really good video to watch. And she was, you know, they kept working and she, you know, good, bad, and got right down to the wire where she was just, if something didn't happen, she was going, and they would, the dad was really, you know, pressing them to continue to give these blood transfusions, and they were looking at her blood count, and you could see, he said, you could see on the chart, you know, where they would give her the blood transfusion, her blood count would go up and it just fall back down, and give her another one and it'd go back down like that. She would just give her another one and just go back down. But one day, she said, something came to her room. And that little blip that kept going down, it kept going down, all of a sudden, started doing this, going up, that blood count going up. The same day that she said, the Lord came to her room. Brother Tim and I was up there with some of the other brothers, what, 2007, is that when it was? And she was their photographer there in the church, taking pictures, and you know, of all the things that were going on. And so, what happened there? She came into encounter with the Word. The Creator came there that day and spoke and brought her life anew, right? And that's the only way it can come. That's why it's not, well, I'm going to try harder and I'm, no, it's not that. You come into an encounter with the Word and He'll make you alive.
That's right.
You'll live. And when He's done with you, you'll know you're alive. You'll express the fact that you're alive.
Right.
Amen? And so it makes no difference what Satan tries, how much death, how much sickness, pain, whatever it is, an encounter with the Word, an encounter with, because remember He sent His Word and healed them? An encounter with the Word will bring life to you if you believe it.
That's right.
Amen. So we know that. And so every age, as I mentioned the other day, in Spoken Words, the original seed, Brother Bram says, every age has and had its chance at the Word. This is what I just described, because in previous ages when they denominate, the only thing left if there's going to be a church is for God to speak a new word and cause a revival and cause a people to come forth. And so every age, because man just keeps messing it up. And so every age, God knows that the only way they can live is to have the Word of God. So He sends His Word every age to quicken the people, to make them alive for that age. Every age gets that. And so after man had their creeds and dogmas and so forth, that's the only thing that could happen. If you're going to live again, it means God would have to bring something, a new word. And what God would bring is He would bring the word for their day. The word for Luther's day was just the just shall live by faith. Right? Wesley's day was a message of sanctification. We have a word today.
Amen.
A word today that God has sent to speak life into the people. And it just so happens, not in a minor form, but in the final form, a final bride whose life will bring up all the rest of the bride of all the ages. Amen? A final word that God has sent. Amen. So each age has to encounter the spoken word to bring them to life. Each person and each age, when it starts out, they're virgins. God was speaking when God spoke to Luther, and that revelation come out and it spread like fire. The just shall live by faith. This was a church that was virgin. Right? How was they just a virgin born church? And so every church has been given that opportunity to the word, but then as they go forth as a church, as a virgin church, then they come to a challenge. They come to a showdown. They come to this situation where now they are given opportunity from Satan to believe other words, other doctrines, other things is brought to them. And so if they fall for something other than the word, now they're no longer virgin. Right? Very simple thing there. And so a person, same way, when every person, when you come and you give your heart to the Lord and all that weight of sin comes off of you and you rise up and you're a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're a virgin. But then Satan will come to you with false teachings, false doctrines, and things like that that's not the word. And that's your challenge. That's where we all have to come to that. And so then what happens? And if we begin to believe on other things other than the word, then there you go. You're no longer virgin. Because now you've let something else in the womb of your heart that's anti-word. So it's a very simple concept there. But we all understand that. And so if like as the scripture said, you know, Paul said, I've espoused you to Christ that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. By fear lest as a serpent be all Eve. Because if somebody comes and preaches another Jesus or you're receiving another doctrine, you see what he's saying? If you receive something else other than the word, it's a different Christ, you're not going to be a chaste virgin. Very simple. That in itself right there proves serpent seed. Proves what happened in the garden right there. Amen. And we know that. And so, when the ages were beguiled by a false teaching, or when we as individuals are beguiled by false teaching, then we become an unfaithful candidate. Amen? Right. Not a virgin anymore. That's why it's so important that we have an encounter with a message that stirs us, right, that stirs our heart. And we know it's made us a different people. Right. And then to stay pure with that. And don't let something slip in that's anti-word. I don't care who it comes from. Right. What city it comes from. Right. Don't let it in. Right? Remain pure. Mm-hmm. So Brother Bram tells us, I've read this before, quoted it a little bit recently, but I'll read it to you here in just a moment. He tells us here at the end time, just like Eve, that, and it's been this way in every age, you have a fresh word that comes, and then you have to meet the enemy face to face with his propositions. This is what happened when Satan came to Jesus. And he tested him and tried, you know, if thou be, tested him with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, same ones that Eve was tested by. And so he tells us that we all come to face to face to be tempted like Eve was. And so, Brother Ben, in the God of this evil age, he said, we find now that this evil age is to prove to Satan that she's not like Eve. Now he's talking about the end time bride. She's ordained not to be like Eve and make the mistake Eve made. Right? So God lets this evil age get as evil. And here's what I'm getting at is, can Satan muster up any kind of program that can beat Christ? So God lets Satan do everything, build his kingdom, build his Satan's Eden, and get everything the best that Satan can be, and says, now, that's the evil age. Go test my bride. Let her see how she interacts with this evil age. Right? And so God lets that happen because that's So Eve was tested face to face with Satan in that serpent, working through that serpent, and was tested and tried. And so he says here, the God of this evil age, we find now this evil age is to prove to Satan she's not like Eve, that she's not that type of a woman. And she will be tried by his word, the bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word. And Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, all but confused on one promise, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But she failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy, face to face. And now the people that's called for his name, of course, is his bride. She is to come in contact again by the same thing, not by just denominational truth or something, but every word. And so let me just break that down to you how that adds up in my mind, in my thinking on this. Not that it's worth a whole lot, but to me what he's saying there is that here at this end time, when this end time bride is going to be challenged by Satan, God is not going to let her have to stand there and meet up with this devil of this age with only denominational teaching, because that ain't going to work. But he's going to bring the bride once again, a new spoken word, a new experience of the full manifested word of the day. He's going to give that to the bride, and with that, she's going to stand there and be confronted.
Right?
So, you know, because anything less than that, she wouldn't be able to withstand it. This is why we must receive every word. Because without every word, then we're not going to be able to defeat the enemy. This is why God would give it. And so, and there's this end time, a special time where God allows this to happen. And we must be tested and tried like Eve was. And so we'll be tested with lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. One of those to try and get us to compromise on this word that made us in the first place. The word that has created our experience. The word that has created this end time message and made us the people who once again love the word, then in that condition we'll be tested and tried to see if we'll compromise with the very word that created us. Listen, this word that created us is our husband. Think about that. The Christ, the creator of all things that made us, that's the one we're to come and be married to. So it is this message that has made this bride, created this bride, and that's the one we're to be married to, but we have to be tested and tried to see if we fall for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, and compromise the very word, the very husband that we are to be married to. The very message that made us this way, somehow Satan wants to come and chew away at it so that we begin to pull away and not believe the things that stirred our hearts the first place.
Right.
You see it. You see it. This is what happens in the lives of people. Then the message that it believed and walked in it for so much, and then, but somehow Satan begins to chew and chew away at these truths that stirred our heart. And next thing you know, we're now compromising with the very husband, the being, very creator, very word that we're to spend eternity with. We're now letting it be chewed away. This is exactly what happens. And when we let that happen, then we're no longer virgin. And if we're not virgin, we can no longer be a candidate for the bride of Christ. And the only way out of that is for God once again to make a move in our lives where we're once that fire is rekindled. And God has that. Amen. No matter how it is, our experience has to be on fire. A new experience from God.
Amen.
Walking in that daily. Yeah. I know you have fights, and I'm not saying you won't have that. There'll be days maybe you don't feel like that, but you understand it's got to be a move of God or it's not moving.
Right.
It's denominated. And like I said the other day, you know, Satan can't keep you if you don't want to be there. See? So if people, bride of Christ, message people, if when Satan tries to go and tries to come at her, and if in her there is no desire for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, then everything he tried is not going to work. So it takes this message to create us into such a place where now we can we know to turn away from those desires of lust of the flesh, lust of the pride of life. To stay with that word. Amen. That's the thing that here we are being tempted that. And so we have to come face to face. But God did not say, well, I'm just going to let you face this hour with just denominational teaching. No, he's going to give you what you need. The 40-foot thick wall of God's word, as we've talked about in the past. He equips her with the word, and then that's what she's tested for. Amen. That's why we must embrace all of the word. That's why we cannot let somebody come along and tell us that it really don't matter the way you dress, or it really doesn't matter this, or really doesn't matter. It does matter.
Yes.
If people have fallen for that, then Satan's already etching away at truth. The only way, remember how he said, you'll find him where you left him, and he's the word. Yeah. And so when people begin to let, say, well, they're wrong, you have to go back to that right there. And if you do, if you go, then you'll find him right there, and he'll take you just like nothing happened, and you go right on just fine. But you must go back to the place you walked away from the word in the first place,
right?
Where Satan tempted you. Amen. This is where the rubber meets the road in all of our lives. See, but we're just, you know, we talk about all these daily temptations. It's just, we're just being tested and tried like Eve was. Will we stay with the word? Of course, we know that she's ordained not to fail this time. She's not going to be spoiling her skirts. That's what Brother Brown titled the way he spoke it one time. Because if we let false teaching come into our heart, that's exactly what's happening. We have spoiled our skirts. You understand the terminology there. But when the bride does stay with the word, when she stays with the word, she becomes that voice. We just read there, the Spirit and the bride say, come. She is the final voice. We've heard this many times. She is the final voice, final age. God's speaking in the bride. If Christ has come down to unite with her and he unites with her, where is he? He's in his bride. And that makes her the final voice. So, but if she stays with the word, stays with him, unites with him, doesn't let anything compromise and chew away at it, then that makes her one with him. That makes, as the prophet said, she is him. Then that means the voice of the resurrection is now in her. That means the voice that created all things in the first place is now in her. Right? And we'll, like the quote we read the other day of how that, you know, we can speak a world and so forth. We'll read some of those things here just a little bit. And so, that's why we must embrace all of it. She's ordained not to fail, not to spoil her skirts, to stay with his word. And that makes it to where she is that voice. Verse 17 there that we read just a little while ago. That voice is now found in her. The voice of the resurrection. Eternal life is now found in her. We're in search of eternal life, and God is trying to show you, as the prophet said, we hear him say this, but we've got to come to a revelation to understand that eternal life is in you. And if you're an elect child of God, it's always been there. You just didn't know it. Right? No species becomes something different. Right? It's always genetically, it's always been that way, see? And so down in you, if you're a child of God today, you always were. You were the first breath you took when you come out of the womb. There was a son or a daughter of God right then. You just didn't know it. Something had to happen to quicken that. Something had to happen to bring it out of being dormant. Right? And that's what the word does. We'll get into that just a little bit later here in just a moment. And so she becomes that voice. That voice is now they're in her. And what this does to her, look at the contrast of what this word does to her versus that church that pulls away from his word. I'm going to read to you something Brother Brown says about this. Such a contrast between the bride of Christ and the, I'll say it because the word is in the word, the whore church. The harlot daughters. So he said in Thyatira and age, talking about how the woman was created, not in the original creation, but she was brought afterwards. And it said, when God caused her to be brought forth from man, she was vastly different than all other females, all other female species on earth. Than all other females that he had created. She was able to be seduced. No other female in creation can be immoral. But the human female may be touched at almost any time. Now you understand the terminology he's speaking of here. And that weakness in her allowed Satan to seduce her by the way of the serpent, and has brought the woman to a very peculiar position before God and his word. Amen? Everybody still with me? That's brought her into a very peculiar situation here. She is the type of all things vulgar, foul, and loathsome on one hand. But on the other hand, she is typed of all things clean and beautiful and holy as the receptacle of the Spirit and blessings of God. On the one hand, she is called the whore who is drunk with the wine of her fornication. But on the other hand, she's called the bride of Christ. On the one hand, she's called Mystery Babylon, the abomination before God. And on the other hand, she's called New Jerusalem, our mother. On the one hand, she is so foul and wicked and lewd that she is summarily cast into the lake of fire as the only fitting place for her. But on the other hand, she's exalted into heaven, sharing the very throne of God as the only place befitting such a queen. What's the difference? The difference is the bride of Christ stayed with him and was not found lewd and spoiling her skirts with all kinds of man's doctrines and so forth. You see why God had to do what he did in this day? He brought us a message that showed us that it was the Creator once again, that the spoken word was here ready to create a people virgin in his presence to come to him and be his bride. But she can't escape that test. She has to be tested true, because we all have to. This is what, when you go out of here, and today and tomorrow and every day, when you are fighting battles and Satan is there trying to get you to compromise, trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to just give it up and just start living according to the flesh, when that happens, you remember this. It's just simply Satan trying to get you away from your Creator, away from your husband, away from the very one that you're going to spend an eternity with. That's all it is. You're not in a situation different than everybody else goes through this, right? I know we all have that idea that nobody's gone through it like I have. No. The Bible says he went through it. That he was by all points tested and tried, right? So he knows how to help you through it. Amen. We all go through things. And the prophet tells us we all have a punch coming from Satan. God allows that. Every one of us, we have some place where Satan tries to get you. And it's a place, you know, that is, you know, vulnerable. If you had a real thick helmet on, ain't no sense in trying to hit you on the head because you're protected. But an enemy's job is to look at the thing that is not covered so well. And that's where he wants to try to get you. And Brother Brandon said, that's the place you got to keep covered. So listen, it's our job as Christians to recognize, hey, I know what I'm vulnerable to. And that's the thing I need to keep covered by prayer. Right? That's the thing. And who's responsible for that? You are. You're responsible to identify in your walk the places that you're weak, the places that something Satan comes to and makes you fall over and over and over and over again, and begin to cover that. Whatever you got to do in prayer, in the word, or create whatever it is you have to, but create a circumstance to overcome that, that's our job as Christians. Keep that covered. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Actually, that means you are. Right. right? Because Satan's trying to get at you. But that's it. See, you're going through the test. And it's always trying to get you, the whole thing is always trying to get you to compromise on the word. Mm-hmm. Amen. So you are a Christian. Mm-hmm. Don't doubt yourself. Amen. Yeah. Don't doubt yourself. Amen. So that voice is found in the bride. It's the voice of the resurrection, the same voice that created. You notice that Lucifer doesn't have this. I'm so glad. I know you get tired of probably hearing me say this. I'm so glad to know that Satan's not a creator. Because if he was, what would you make him? See, this is why these statements. Listen, what theologian could come along and say such a thing? They don't. But we have to understand God has sent a gift. In our days, let me say it, he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins, and he sent this prophet messenger to tell you the truth about it. Mm-hmm. Right. To send us, and he would make this statement, you know, Satan's not a creator. Right? Then they teach it, oh, he can do all these things. And Satan is not a creator. And he made this statement, he said that he was equal with God, except in creation. He's a very formidable adversary, but when you put him up against the creative spoken word, he don't have a chance. Right. See, he cannot speak something into existence to give him an advantage. The only thing he can do is take things that God has and pervert it, even into supernatural things, right? If he can make a table levitate, whatever, I don't understand all that, but if he can make a table levitate and the prophet prove that through the name of Jesus Christ, to prove to that, he would say, in the name of the Holy Church, fall, and it wouldn't. But as soon as he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, it about broke the legs off it, come down so hard. So I don't, but Satan is a perverter. He's not a creator, right? He doesn't have access to that characteristics of God. He's not the bride of Christ. He's not a son or daughter of God. He doesn't have access. So you know that that's the place where we whip the devil. That's where it's always won, right there. We must get over into that spoken word, into the realm of what that consists of, to be overcomers. And that means that word would come by revelation, right? Revelation is what does it. And through that, we become overcomers, because Satan can't touch. He can do everything else, but he cannot touch creation. So the best thing for us to do is just move right on out into that realm, or Satan can't do nothing with us. We operate in that realm of the spoken word being the original seed of moving into the very message that created us that we're going to spend eternity with. Move right off into that and navigate through that and that alone. There's where you have victory. So when you have your fight this week and you're being tested and tried, remember that. Move right out into these truths that keep coming across the pulpit and from the tapes. Move right into that and you'll find your overcoming power there. But anything short of that, see, he delivered the full word, so with the full word she would meet Satan in his Eden and overcome. That's where we are. God has brought these things. And so to take these concepts and realize that when the prophet said things like, you know, he was equal with God in every way except in creation, we should take that and run with it. That we know that if we're going to defeat the enemy, it's going to be by revelation, by spoken word, by the ability for God to create in your experience overcoming power. Is there, if you could, as I said the other day, if you could have a thought, receive a thought, and you could speak it and believe it, would there be a limitation? Think about it. God could speak and create a universe, and is there any kind of limitation to what he could do? No. Right? Not at all. So, maybe a little ahead of where I should be, but if we could speak a world into existence and go live on it, if you could do that, would there be a limitation to you? Well, Satan would try to, he couldn't do nothing with it because he can't touch spoken word. He can't touch the ability to speak, believe, and create.
Right.
To speak, to believe, to change circumstances. Can he touch that? He can't. See, we got to move into that realm. We have sicknesses in our body and a family and loved ones that's gone on, that's out in the world and so forth. And I'm just telling you, there is a realm. There is a place in God where you can move, and it's in a realm where Satan can't even operate. He can't even navigate. Can't do anything with it. And that's where we, somehow, through all the noise of this age and everything that's going on, we got to come to this place where you move right out into that, and in that realm, and then you'll see these things that God has promised. You'll see those things happen. We see it from time to time in healing and stuff, but brother, sister, we're at the end of all things. It's time for a body change. It's time for all of our loved ones to all come in and that last quick work that God's going to do. It's time for that latter rain movement, the effects of it to show itself. It's time for that. Amen. And so Satan doesn't have access to these things. But sons and daughters of God, or the bride of Christ, does. That's the very essence of who God is. That characteristic. He's the creator. And he gives that to his children. Because they're his offspring. Right? That makes the difference. Satan doesn't have that. Because he's not the creator and he's not a son of God. You know, the scripture tells us that we may know him and the power of his resurrection. Right? And remember I said a while ago that under the message, these things mean more to us. This bride, this church, bride of this age, to understand, to know him in a way that previous ages didn't, and to know the power of his resurrection like they never knew it before. Magnified now, because it's the last. It's the finality of it. To change this Gentile church world, his work in the Gentiles is about to finish. It's all finishing up now. And so to know him and know him in the power of his resurrection, we are to know that in a greater way than any other age. I'm not saying it's something you to go do. Well, I'm just going to know it better. But I'm telling you, it's a promise of God that he's going to make sure you know him in the power of his resurrection beyond what any other age has. Because you're going to take a body change. Amen. And in the process of that, you're going to express him to this world. That, you know, we say, you are his victory. What's the victory he had on Calvary? You are. You are proof that what he did on Calvary worked. Right? You are that proof. And so it's going to be shown right here at the end, this end time bride, it will be manifest in her that what he did was absolutely, and he's now in her, and she's full partakers of everything he paid for. Not just in little ways throughout the ages, but in the fullness. His presence manifested through her, where she is him. To know him and know him in the power of his resurrection, and to see that voice of resurrection working in her, for the bride to recognize who she is and to know this life we're talking about is in us. It's in us to do the things that God promised it would do. Power is working in us. Power to redeem. Power to bring back. Amen? Power to bring back. Power to start over. Power to be virgin again. Think about that. You know, the Catholic Church, they do all kinds of things that they're anti-word, but they mimic. And they claim to have the power to make a woman virgin again so she can go remarry another man. You know that? Only God can do something like that. And you understand. So, and I'm not talking about so much in the natural, but I'm saying that we, all of us, no matter what our experience has been, that if we come into an encounter of the Word and it creates a move of God in us and makes us a living, a new creature, we're virgin. Right? Even if you did go to some denominational church in the past, if this Word has stirred you and brought you into a new experience with God, then you're a virgin before God and you're a candidate for Jesus Christ, as long as you don't mix it with something else. We have a message. Don't mix it. This is Christ, the coming of the Lord to get his bride. Don't mix it with something else. Don't let Satan chew away at it. Right? This is it. Amen. To know him in that power of the resurrection, to bring us back, start over, to become a virgin again. Because, as I said, it's the very word that creates us, that's who we marry. That's who is our husband. You know, Brother Ram said that revival, he's talking about being up there and seeing, I think, one of the Great Lakes, and it was just stirring and just, and he said, man, it's having a revival. A lot of wind and stuff, the waves were all choppy and stuff, and he said, boy, what a revival, you know. And he said, what that does is that it washes all that trash that's in the water, washes out on the bank. It's kind of a way of purifying itself, right? Getting all the trash out of the water. But Brother Ram said, you know, that lake was, it was just chopping and jumping and purifying and throwing stuff out on the bank. And he said, but there was no more water in there at that time than it was before. It was already there, but all it needed was something to stir it. See, we're born children of God. We just need to come into contact with something to stir that. It's already there. You're already a child of God. But it takes an experience there. What does that experience do? It cleanses and throws all the trash of unbelief out of your experience, throws it out on the bank so that you realize who you are. That's what it is. See, these little comments that he makes like that, you know, and we just, if you're not careful, you'll just take it at some superficial thing there, not realizing this man is speaking details, hidden mysteries to the bride that is for her and her alone, that you could see more out of these things and more out of these scriptures than any other age. Because it's speaking to you. It's speaking to people that he's going to give a body change to. And he's ministering to you those kinds of teachings and concepts and revelations that will give you a body change that he didn't do in previous ages. These things, he's here to speak these things and minister them right into your heart so that it's a real experience in you. Amen. And so it's already there. Just to watch it, wash out all the unbelief and man-made doctrines out of the bank, out on the bank. Amen. This is where we find out who we are. Right? Remember the prophet said, once she knows who she is? See, we have to come to this place where we no longer doubt who we are. And you come to that understanding, realizing that in your flesh you have all these, this stuff that's contrary, and Satan's coming at you all the time, but I'm a child of God. It don't make any difference what happens. I'm a child of God. This revelation, this understanding, it will never leave you. Once a revelation hits, and that revelation of who you are, what your purpose is here, will never leave you, because gates of hell cannot prevail against you. This is what we want. We want to come to that place where in our experience, God, ask him, he gives liberally, he abradeth not. Ask him, and without faith, but not wavering. Ask him so that you understand, I'm a child of God. Amen. Even if you fail, I'm a child of God. I'm working through this. I am under tutors, and I'm learning. I'm learning the Father's business, and I'm on my way, and I fell flat, but I'm still a child of God because I see him working in my life in that capacity. That's how I know. He's called me. He's stirred me. There's a word, and I want to live by that word. I'm stirred by it. Yes, I make mistakes, but I'm getting up and I'm keeping right on. Amen. That's what you do. This is where you find out who you are. This is why Brother Man, he come along and he preached spiritual amnesia. Listen to these things. Remember, he's telling you things that's for you and you alone. He says spiritual amnesia, and he tells you the reason why, a lot of times the reason why people have amnesia is when we go through, like people in war, the traumas and things that they run and they forget who they are. But he said, one thing that can cause it is being halt between two opinions. Do you know the scripture says that at the end time, when it's ready for him to come, that there'll be multitudes in the valley of decision? Multitudes of people in this world that know they should serve God, and but they can't make up their mind what they're going to do. And they're going to find he's going to come when they're in that condition. But what I want to show you is that if you're halt between two opinions, you don't know, is this truth or is it not truth? I just don't know. Then the effect of that is that you can't fully understand who you are.
Right.
That's spiritual amnesia. And so you got to make up your mind. And so in order to defeat this amnesia that we all come here with, and we're trying to come to the place where we know who we are by this word, is doing that, then one of the things it would address in our experience is that you'll understand, and you won't have two different opinions. You'll know this is God's word. This is what I'm feeding on. Not going with anything else. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what denominations try to say. I don't care what it looks like that other people might be more holy or whatever, and they're valid too. I'm telling you, this word is it. We have to have our mind on this and this alone and not something else. Because as long as we don't, we're like that, then we still can never come to know who we really are. You'll never know this until you get focused strictly on the word of God that has been brought to us today. Not all ages, but this age. And that's the one thing there. Make up our minds. And the other thing was to get a person around familiar surroundings, and get them back around familiar surroundings, and they can come to themselves. He tells the story about the soldier, and they stop the train, and he gets around where his home was, and he began to come back to himself. Think about that. That in us, in our experience of who we are, coming from God. And that experience, we come here, like Brother Ben said, that we bypass our theophany. Jesus did not, but because he come here in the way he knew the things he did or whatever, but we bypass that so we don't remember, but yet we were there. And we're saying we were there in the mind of God where his thoughts are real, right? They're real. When God was thinking, even to think it, that makes it done. Even if it's not created physically, that physical is nothing. Is it in God's word? Was it a thought of God? And if it was in his thoughts, whether it has manifested yet or not, it's more real there, and it will come. Right? So in us was an experience that was there, but we forgot it. That in us, we are used to a realm of the spoken word. We're used to a realm of believing. And it creating and bringing things to pass that's not physically manifested. We're used to that realm, but we've come here and we forgot it. And the way for God to begin to make us remember that is to let us be around and experience and begin to see spoken word and begin to experience it and see these things come to pass. And we begin to realize, hey, I think I remember I was there. I remember this. This sounds right to me. This I may be in a chicken pen, but I hear something that matches what's in here. This is truth. No matter what the world says. This is truth. To believe that. And God in this last day, this is what he's done. He's brought us to a place where he's getting us around and through the spoken word around these familiar surroundings. So now we begin to realize there's something more than what this church world has been giving. Something more than this natural realm. Get us around spiritual, around familiar surroundings, and we start coming back to ourselves and getting us to the place where we see this word and we make up our mind. You know what? I'm not going to sit here and wonder if Baptist doctrine or Presbyterian doctrine is still right. I'm going with the word. Because to do that makes us unqualified, unfit for the bride of Christ to go after other teachings, right? That's not the word. And he proved it's not his word. At one time they were virgin. Now they're not. Amen. So we get rid of our spiritual amnesia. We come to the place where we realize who we are because we see that it is eternal life in us that's causing us. causing these things. It is eternal life that has caused us to want this word, to love it. This is, so you understand, we're all in search of, people, the world's in search of eternal life or the fountain of youth. This is. You know, it's like you say, I can't see the forest for the trees. I can say, well, I'm looking for the congregation. And I'm looking for the congregation. I don't see the congregation. I'm looking. I don't see. Where's the congregation at? Back up. This is the congregation. We're like, well, I want to see the coming of the Lord. Well, you're looking at this truth, but I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. And this truth, and I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. I'm looking. This is the coming of the Lord. These truths being revealed, this word calling a people out of a dead system of denominations to be alive. This is the rapture. This is. See, we got to quit letting Satan trick us around and say, well, no, get away from those things. Back up and see, this is the move of God.
Amen.
Listen, I may not have enough faith to make it all manifest, like Brother Brent said. I may not have the faith to do what Enoch did, but I don't want to stand in the way of somebody who does. I may not have the faith to make all of this manifest just yet. Or I might not. I don't want to stand in the way of somebody who would. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm perfectly, perfectly content coming to the end of my days on this earth believing what I'm telling you. You understand? That's why I tell it. Not shun to declare to you what God lets me see. Okay? These truths, this is the move of God to change us. Amen. It's just exactly what it has been said that it is. Now I'm going to read this quote again that I read the other day. I'm going to read a little bit further this time. But this is who. We're looking for eternal life. I'm telling you, it's in you. You're looking for this. You're looking for that. You see God do this in your life. You see Him do that. Look at it all. That is God doing these things. Go with it. Ever-present water from the rock. Brother Bram said, that's the power that's in the church now. Where you're talking about speak worlds into existence and go live on it. That's the power that's in the church now, but it's controlled by a law. And that law is not the keeping of a bunch of commandments. It's not performance. I have genetics in me that makes me the son of my father. And it has nothing to do with whether I play baseball or I do a good job, whatever. It's the genetics. Right? It's the genetics. It's not by keeping of a bunch of commandments. But it's a law of faith. Faith that what? Faith that believes the revelation. Faith that believes who God has made you to be. It is a law of faith. Jesus said all things are possible to them who believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that's yours. Every place that the sole of your feet can set on by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. You possess it if you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it to you. You see what I mean? That power is controlled by, if you're a son of God and a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time. Do you believe that? Yeah, you don't feel like it.
Right.
But what I'm saying here in this end time to finally get to the place and realize, you know what? I'm a child of God. Has nothing to do with whether I'm having a hard time at job, if my friends are turning their back on me, people's left the church. It may have nothing to do with what I'm a child of God. It has nothing to do with whether I fall or not. I'm a child of God.
Right?
Right? Therefore, he's involved in my life. And so that concept, you have to come to that place to realize that's with you always. He said, but your faith gets away from it. But it's still there. Hallelujah. He says, when you're saved, now this is further than I read the other day. When you're saved, God gives you faith to rise above the muck of the earth. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. God gives you faith to rise above the muck of the earth. Your faith overcomes the things of the world. What is your faith? Here's what it is. Your faith is that act that God has did in you to make you a son of God. You quit your lying, you quit your stealing, you quit your drinking, because your faith rises above it. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way it works. If you don't do it, then you don't have faith. And by faith you are saved, and that through grace. And as much, listen to this, as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Right? As much of your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Because in you dwells the power to make heavens and earth. In you as Christians. And what am I saying? If God had the ability to do that, and he puts that in his children, and you're a child, you have that. We're not teaching denominational doctrines. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to tell you, as best that God will let me, what is coming out of this word, this end time word. That in you is the same power that Brother Brown was saying could speak a world into existence and go live on it. It's just that it takes faith to do it. Faith acting upon this promised word. Okay? It says our faith gets away, so you doubt it, you don't, but it's there anyway. On your hardest day at work, it's there anyway. And it's our job to come to the place where we understand that. If my father owned the farm and I had to work out here just like all the rest of the servants, though, even though I will own the farm one day, and I'm out here and they can make fun of me, they call me names, they can throw stuff at me, whatever, it don't make a difference. I'm still son of the owner. I'm still coming to that place. It makes no difference what this world says, what they say on the news. We are children of God. Amen?
Amen?
And so therefore we are in line with what I'm talking about here. That in line with beginning to operate in a realm that Satan can't touch. Something he can't do any, because that's the essence of what makes God different. And over Lucifer was that character and that nature being created. And so how thankful we are. Now, I'm not going to get too far into this. I'm just going to make a few comments real quick here. But if you could speak a world in existence, and we believe this, okay? So I'm not so sure, you know, how do we know that once all this is over, we don't become a god like he was, and we go create our own universe, and we become a savior for our own people? I mean, you don't know.
Right.
But I'm saying that we're talking about his characteristics to be able to speak. And so if you could speak a world into existence and you could go live on that, prior to speaking it, would you have to understand all the mechanics and all the dynamics of how that world would work? You'd have to know all the weather patterns and what all the elements are and the molecular and how everything. Would you have to understand that? So, well, I can't do that because I don't understand. You follow what I'm saying? To have the ability to speak a world doesn't mean that you have to understand all that stuff. It's like that omniscience, all-knowing, omniscience goes right along with omnipotent. That if I had within me the ability to speak a word, and I can speak, then I already have the intelligence that goes into all that. They don't have, and so on, trying to show that we think, oh, I have to understand this. But no, you don't have to understand. When you have spoken word ability, you don't have to understand. It's just you have to have that channel that's there, and that when from eternity comes a thought and you speak that, put your on your lips, and it's God's word, it'll create. You don't have to understand all that. The creation takes care of that. He just takes care of that. You don't have to understand. And I say all this just to bring it back that you know, because I consider God being all-knowing. I think he knows, you know, if there's a piece of carbon in my sixth cylinder on my car that's on a piston head, he knows whether it's there, right? He knows, I mean, that's ridiculous, but you could say, well, you know, he knows ever flee than ever bat its eye, or however much towel it had, or every hair on your head. Yeah, we understand that, but did that mean that God had to understand that before he could create it? And I'm trying to show you is that just in the nature of eternity, it's there. It's infinite. All you got to do is just tap into that, and you don't have to understand, because if you speak and it comes to pass, it's all inherent. That's the character and nature of eternity. And it's not the kind of thinking we think. And the kind of thinking we think we have to understand how it doesn't matter. If it's in God's word, if it's inspiration from heaven, it makes no difference. It'll happen. Why? Because it's creative. It's a creative word. And that's the word that we believe. And that's the word that lives in us. It's not about us sitting around and, well, I'm going to try it. I'll see if I can come up with the right thought or something today. No, it's you realize that when God gives it to you, it comes from him. Jesus said, I can't do anything unless my Father shows me. He was an example, right? He was Word made flesh. We'll tell you that we're Word made flesh too. This is what the prophet tells us. But if we're standing here, we're just like Jesus, and we would have to say, you know what? I can't do it. I can't do a thing, even though I'm here and I am the Word made flesh like he was, and he's showing that. I can't do a thing until there's an inspiration that comes from that realm to strike me. And I catch the right thought, and then I'll say it. And then it'll happen. Brother Rams was telling you, he said, they were talking about, oh, couldn't you speak this? And if you, and he said, you got to remember, I never spoke. He told me, say these. See, he asked Jesus. Brother Ram could do nothing but what had come from heaven for him to do, say it. We're the same. And so it's not like, well, I'll just do. No, it's just knowing that as a son and daughter of God, that God wants to express himself through you. Not through denominations, he can't. But express himself through you in such a way that as you go along and in your daily walk and you have daily trials and you might be frustrated, but because you are a child of God, your Father could speak to you, something can come from that realm, and it comes with an inspiration, and you know it's from him. And sometimes you might not know it's from him. I'll say that too. And it releases it, and next thing you know, something's happened that you thought you'd never be able to overcome. It's like I told you that one time when I had whatever it was growing on my back there, and I just walked along. I didn't feel inspiration, whatever. I saw it in the mirror, and I just said, fall off there. And then in a couple of days, it was gone. It fell off. I don't know where it went. But I didn't say, okay, I'm going to think this. You see, it comes as we can say, I can't do it unless that inspiration is given me from heaven. But I'm positioning myself as a child of God to know that I'm in line for this. This is the life I live, and I'm expecting him to speak through me. I'm expecting to learn as I walk this earth, learn to be a son and daughter of God operating in that realm. Right? All of you know the troubles that we've had with our neighbor, with your livestock, right? Chewing everything up. About a week ago, I prayed for that situation, prayed for my neighbors, prayed most of the prayers of the Lord to straighten this thing out, And about a week ago, I think I was out in the garden working out there, and when you're out there in the garden working, and these animals coming up trying to eat everything up, and you think about it a lot. And it just struck me, an understanding that though I've prayed for my neighbor, it came with accompanied with a different feeling that I hadn't quite done it right, hadn't quite prayed just exactly, even though I thought I had. You know what I'm saying? And so let me try to explain to you that, we go through, we're trying to live for God and do for things, but every once in a while, boom, clarity comes. And you realize that maybe you just haven't quite expressed Christ in the situation. But it came, and just in that moment, in my mind, I don't even remember I even spoke it. I might have just out there and I don't even remember what I said, but I transferred that thought and that feeling into a prayer for my neighbor. But I came home from church yesterday. My wife showed me a video that she had sat on the porch and took of a livestock trader leaving her neighbors. And we haven't seen any of those animals since. And I have to, and I immediately had to go back and say, is that all it took? The way over a year and all the troubles, is that really all it took, that just the right inspiration to say it in the right way could solve a situation like that? You know, anything that God does, there's always going to be something there that Satan says, well, no, it's it, whatever. Okay, whatever. I just believe that we are children of God. Amen. And God works through us. And as we go forward to see more and more of those things happening in our lives, that we live by the revelation of this word that God speaks and lives through us every day. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let the musicians come. We pray. Eternal life is in you as Christians. Can't say that to the world, but I speak these things to the people who are feasting on this end time word that God has vindicated. That eternal life lives within you. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for these moments we get to be together around your word. Lord, these things go quickly beyond that which anything that a man could do. I don't stand here, Lord, in myself trying to say these things myself. And Lord, you know that it's inspiration. It comes where you feed these things in here, and that's all it is. I'm not trying to be anything. I just realize that and believe, Lord, that we're in such a time now that you're doing great things, and these things we've longed for are about to wrap up. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you would just go ahead and move these things to reality, just to make it so real to us. May each one that has heard these things, may they begin to look to you in this way. And Lord, that you would, as they take a step to you, you'd take greater steps toward them to confirm and show them that this attribute of your presence living in them, you're moving us to that time of adoption and to begin to expect and look for and long for and cover ourselves in prayer and all that we need to do to move further in you in this direction, because you have a people on this earth who will manifest you fully. Just ask them, Lord, that you would do that for each one. Lord, those that are missing today, may they come back, be able to hear this. May the same inspiration be present on tape. I know normally that a recording may not be the same as being here, but I ask God that you bring that same presence, same anointing, same magnitude of understanding of what has been said today, that you would come to them in the same way, Lord, that we would all just be in unity together, moving forward as we go toward that great hour we're looking for. We love you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.